have a beautiful church. This is a beautiful church, not only externally, but internally. You have beautiful members here. I have met them. I have praised with them. I am overjoyed because God is already in this place. Because you have come to sup and you have come to the place together. But in each and every one of you is the gift of life that God has provided. And the Holy Spirit moves in your heart and in your minds to be in this holy place, because this is a holy place. For generations, people have built and have dreamed for their future generations. I can see it. I can be a part of it. And I loved how you involved your future generations and leading. Thank you for that young man that brought those mics. I was blessed by that. Why? Because you are empowering your youth, your children, to be part of your church. Thank you. I feel like I have already worshiped. I feel like I have been in the presence of God already. But let us come together and read the word of God in Daniel. Tell somebody, we're going to read Daniel 9. Tell somebody next to you, we're going to read from Daniel 9. It's okay. We're going to have a little conversation today in church. Okay? We're going to study chapter 9 in Daniel. Now, I want you to pay attention to some little key details in this passage. Starting off, it says, it was the first year of Darius, the son of Cyrus, the seed of Medes, who was made king over the realm of Chaldeans. So we are when in history? The first year of Darius's reign. The first time the Medes and the Persians are ruling. But the Medes have the person in power. Listen to what it says next. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years were of the word of the Lord, came to Jeremiah. Did they come to Daniel or did they come to Jeremiah? To Jeremiah. And check this out. He was a prophet. So Daniel is acknowledging Jeremiah as a prophet. Then he continues and he says that he would accomplish 7 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Okay, 70 years. That's a long time, wouldn't you agree? But why is he mentioning 70 years? Those are the 70 years that Daniel has been in captivity. Daniel has been going through this incredible journey of leading a nation, being at the top of the Babylonian government, serving for 70 years. Now it is the Medes and the Persians, and he's still serving. But he is longing for Jerusalem to be rebuilt. This is what he is longing for. And look what he says next. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer. So he's seeking who? And how is he doing that? By prayer. He is seeking him by prayer. Now, I want to ask you, is this before the lion's den or after the lion's den? What do you think? Before? Raise your hand. Before the lion's den? Just raise your hand. It's better if we guess and we just have fun with it and then we'll remember better. How many of you think it was before? How many do you think was after? Okay. Let's go back and look really quick. Let's go to Daniel 1. Come with me really quick. If you have your Bibles, just go to chapter 1 of Daniel. We're going to peruse through really quick our Bible. We're going to check what chapter is in what chapter happens? What happens in each chapter? And we're going to check this out. So Daniel chapter 1 is Daniel leaving Jerusalem. He's captive. Do you think he's praying? Talk to me, please. Do you think he's praying? Yes, he is praying. In that same chapter, what is happening? He is given the food of the king. Does he want his food from the king's table? Does he pray before he goes and asks to change? Does he pray? Yes, he changes the food he eats by the power of prayer. He says, Lord, I can't do this, but you're going to change my food. You're going to help me. You know what? That changes. Check out chapter 2. The king has a terrible dream and he's distressed. And you know what? Do you think Daniel prays? Yes, he prays because he has no idea what that dream is. He prays and he asks God, give me the interpretation of that dream. Check out chapter 3. Please turn the page. Come with me. Chapter 3. Now the king does something even more incredible. He says, look, I'm not just the head. I'm the whole kingdom. I'm going to be forever like God. And you know what happens? There's three friends. They pray and they say, Lord, you know that we will honor you completely. And we will not bow down to anyone. And we will honor you. That's even if our life depends on it. Do you pray to the Lord like that? Do you say, Lord, even if it depends on my life, I will honor you. Are we there? I pray that God, that I am there, that you are there, that say, Lord, I will not bow down. I will honor you and I will be with you completely. Prayer. They were praying in their heart for their lives, and God came and supped with them, came and walked with them, came and was in the midst of the fire. Are you going through tribulations? Are you going through storms? Are you going through the fire? Is God going to be there with you? He is there. Do not question, where is God? He is there with you. You may not see him through the flames, but he is there. He is with you. Turn to chapter 4. What do we find in chapter 4? It's a strange dream. A strange dream. Nebuchadnezzar, he's the ruler and top of everything. But he has another dream. This dream is about a tree. And the tree is what? Cut down on the stump. Daniel, it says in the word, that Daniel stood for an hour astonished. I believe he was praying. I believe that he was praying. You know why? Because what he had to tell to the king was not nice. He had to tell him the truth. He had to straight out tell him, you are going to lose everything if you do not turn your full face and acknowledge the God of heaven. And he loses everything. When I mean everything, I don't mean his kingdom. Because you know who took care of his kingdom? God did. God took care of his kingdom. How? Through Daniel. Are you Daniel today in your work? Are you Daniel today in your school? Are you Daniel when you get on the bus? Can they see you? But can they see Jesus Christ in you? Can they see you? But see more than that. Can they see Jesus Christ? Turn to chapter 5. Quickly. Belshazzar is having a great feast, taking out the best of God's kingdom from his sanctuary, his goblets of gold. And the precious things that were used in the sanctuary to have a great feast. And what happens in that party? Somebody shows up. Somebody huge. And only his hand is seen. Only his hand is seen. And it begins to write on the walls. You know, I believe Daniel was praying. Because he knew what was happening next. And he knew that when the words were going to come out of his mouth, that even his life could also depend upon it. But he prayed. Chapter 6, one of my favorites. Medes and Persians just come in to government. The new princes and all the new leading people don't like what's happening. Daniel is on top again, and he's from the other kingdom, and they are not. What is this? We have just changed politics, and we have changed the government. Why don't we go on top? So how can we change this up? Let's make a law, because we are in authority. So let's change up the law. Let's see if his God can actually protect him. You know? Could God protect Daniel? He had the power of prayer. And he prayed, even if the law was against it. And he did not hide himself. Do you hide yourself? When you go to the store and you see someone broken, and you know that what they need is not their groceries, but they need a prayer, do you stop them and say, I'm going to pray for you? Or do you even say, can I just pray for you right now? Is that okay? Are you okay with doing that? I want to challenge you. Yes, you can. It's okay. Because you know what? More than those chips or more than the food that they're going to get, they need something in their heart. You know, the other day I had this experience. This gentleman was there looking at the long aisle of chips. And I could see his eye, something there. And I said, what is your name? He told me his name. I said, I am going to pray for you. He was a gentleman, and because of that, I respected his space. But I told him, I'm going to pray for you. There was something in his complexion that changed. There was something from the lostness to a hope. Can you bring that hope? Please, do not confine yourself because you're a child. Well, I'm just a little kid. No, please. Your prayers says God hears those with clean hands and clean hearts. You are our clean hearts and our clean hands that have very little of the understanding and the immensity of our problem sin. You hear me, kids? You guys are powerful when you pray. Because God is with you. Not because you know everything in the Bible, but because he's given you life and authority to speak. So please pray and acknowledge your God. So from lions, they became kitty cats. A huge animal became a cat in manner and way of life. While the presence of God in Daniel was in that place. It did not happen for the rest of them that went in later on. Chapter 7, another vision. But you know what? God cries. Because he wants to make sure that Daniel understands the interpretation, and Daniel longs to God as well and says, I need the interpretation to this. And he gives it to him. And then we come to Daniel 9. You see, Daniel is longing so much that if you look at verse 27 of chapter 8, right before the prayer, it says that Daniel fainted and that was sick certain days before he does this prayer. And before he did the business of the king, he was astonished about the vision he had. He didn't understand nothing. Have you ever come to church? And because of the way we come to church, it's not about church, by the way. It's about the way we come to church. The way we come to church that we cannot find solace, shalom, peace. That we have to cry out to God. We have to cry out to God that we would be able to understand that he is living with us. That all we have to do is ask. God, be with us. God, be in us. Teach me from your word. When you go to his word, he will teach you. He will give you life. He will give you the full authority. Look what happens next. Verse 3. Supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I'm going to ask you to ask God and employ with him and supplicate and say, Lord, please help me to understand what you want me to do in the mission of my church, in the mission of reaching those friends in my community, those friends that haven't been at church. How do I reach them? How do I love them? How? Show me, Lord. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and awesome God, keeping the covenant and the mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, that love the Lord and keep his commandments. Deuteronomy 5:6 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Kids, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me, kids? With all your heart. With all your soul. Within Hebrew says nefesh, which means living being, complete. With all that. With all your might. Can you guys do that for me? With all your might. Love the Lord. You love God. Look at verse 5, please. Read it with me. We have sinned, and we have committed iniquity, and we have done wickedly, and we have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgment. From our judgment? No. From thy judgment, from thy commandments, from thy love. Because all the commandments is love. Neither have I hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spoke in thy name to our kings, to our princesses, to our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Yes. We need to love and respect our prophets. I would say to our pastors, to our leaders, yes, respect them, honor them. Yes. If you don't agree with them, pray for them. Yes. It's okay to agree and disagree. But pray, be in a posture of praying and asking God. When you're driving and you're leaving this place, as you go from this holy, holy place, please pray for those around you. As you pray, of course, don't close your eyes. But please pray. Pray for the person who's on the corner. Pray for the one driving next to you. It doesn't matter the quality of the car it is. They still need Jesus. They need Jesus, and you are that person interceding on their behalf. Let's continue reading the word. Verse 7. O Lord, righteousness beholdeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. As at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all of Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses, that they have trespassed against you. So, in other words, we have been scattered all over because we have not honored your law. We have not been in your word because we have not supped with you, because we have not been with you. And we are lost and dispersed all over the place. O Lord, to us beholdeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princesses, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercy and forgiveness, that we have rebelled against him. But to him belong mercy and what? Forgiveness. So he is giving you and me mercy and forgiveness. mercy on each one of us because we have sinned, because we have rebelled, because we don't want to listen, because we don't want to. We just don't want to. But he wants you. He longs for you. He desires to be with you. He wants to forgive you. Personally first. And secondly, collectively. As a church. He wants you to know that he's ready to bless you. If you are willing to walk with him. Let's read verse 10. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his law. Which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. I'm going to ask you to please stand up. Move your feet. Take a step. Are you ready to be forgiven? Are you ready for the mercy of the Lord to be upon you? It says, yea, all of Israel has transgressed thy law, and even by departing, they might not obey thy voice. But look what the Lord says in verse 19. The whole section, if you want to continue to read, it talks about how he forgive, how he's longing for Israel to be forgiven. But in verse 19, it's for us. It says, O Lord, hear, O Lord, and forgive. Lord, hearken and do, and defer not that for thine own sake, O God, for the city and for thy people are called by thy name. Forgive, Lord. Forgive us. I am in a place where I'm asking the Lord to forgive us, not only individually, but collectively as a church. And not only collectively as a church, as Southside Church, an amazing church, a beacon of light here in Bakersfield. More than that, I am praying to God that he will forgive our denomination for not being collectively united in prayer and longing for God's mercy and forgiveness because of our neglect of loving one another and being there when someone else needs us because we are too busy. We are too busy. We are too busy with work. We are too busy in our electronics. We are too busy to be in God's place, to be in God's word, to be in God. And to be in his church and to serve completely without any acknowledgement, but with the full authority of God's mercy and God's forgiveness. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you because your church has the blessing to walk, has the blessing to be forgiven, has the blessing to accept your mercy. And Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will continue to move in this place and that you continue to heal the wounds of the past and that you would heal the whole community because this place has been healed, has been forgiven, has been restored into the full image and complete presence of the Messiah, of Lord Jesus Christ, as it's prophesied and continued in this chapter, chapter 9. Because the true transformation of the heart and the mind and the whole nefesh is to be in the full presence and authority of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your presence in this place. Do not remove your presence, but fill us with your word. Forgive us when we have wronged our brother and our sister. Forgive us when we have acted in a way that has hurt my sister and she no longer comes. Or my brother feels hurt because his help was not needed. Lord, transform our hearts, transform our church, transform our denomination to reach our community, to love in our home, to pray in our home, to love in our church, to pray in our church, to love our community, and to pray in our community, and to accept the full presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.